This conference is being recorded.
Hey, Guy, this is Mike Senyu. We like to record these conferences because anyone can call in during the week and rehear them if they miss them. So,
that's great. Now I know I can do that myself, too.
But someone just joined.
No, I don't think so much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Guy, welcome to the group. This is going to be session number 3, and
okay,
we're going to be talking about green jobs.
Good.
And Lynn and George from New Jersey Youth Corps are going to facilitate the session. And just to give a little introduction before everyone comes on, we've been holding these about every week. It's the third one. We may go, I'm not sure, depending on the group, next week we may skip because of July 4th holiday.
Right.
But we'll see. We're doing these each week, and we're hitting different topics in each one. And we're just getting started. People will come and go from the group, but we're just getting the thing going.
Good. There's a lot of interest in...
I think someone just joined us. Can you tell us who you are, please? Well, maybe not. I thought I heard a bell.
I thought I did, too. Whenever you hear a bell like that, it's someone that's joined the group.
Okay.
If you get disconnected or whatever, you could always call the number back in. If someone's on the line and we can't hear them, just... exit and then want to try rejoining and see if that helps.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Guy, you're from New York?
Actually, I live in Niagara Falls, New York. I work for a college called Niagara County Community College. There's
Margaret Toper.
Oh, hi, Margaret. This is Glow. You did get my email.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I had faxed you an application, and I don't know why you didn't get it, but tomorrow when I'm in my regular office, I'll fill out the information you need and just send it in an email. I guess the other thing was a PDF file, and I couldn't save to it.
Yeah.
I couldn't write on it.
Okay.
Margaret, this is Mike Senyu. What is your email?
It's Topor, T-O-P-O-R, Niagara, C-C, niagaracc.suny.edu.
So Niagara CC is one word. N-I-A-G-A-R-A-C-C.
Yes.
Margaret, so Guy, you and Margaret probably know each other, correct?
Yes, we do. Yep.
Exactly.
He works in a different department, but we know each other.
All right, good.
That's how it works. We have to call halfway across the United States to have a meeting.
To talk to each other.
Yeah.
Well, that's not unusual. We had a workshop in several of them. Oh, someone's coming. Who just joined?
George Papendorf.
Oh, hi, Lynn and George. This is Glow.
Hi, Glow.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Hi, Power Power Safeway Network.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name.
Paula Paris.
Oh, hi, Paula. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
And the other gentleman?
This is Angus Reed.
Hi, Angus. This is Glo. We're just waiting for everybody to get joined in.
Okay.
I was saying, and there'll be people beeping in. Whenever they beep in, we'll let them get the welcome in. We've had some of these workshops where people, they didn't know they existed, and they were about the floor below or the next section, and they would come to one of these workshops, and you mean you're with this group too?
Well, that's funny.
But that works, and actually it's a great way to form partnerships. I'm sure that one of these sessions we'll be talking about partnerships and how to form these coalitions. Guy and Margaret are new at this, and what we're...
Oh.
Hi, this is Amanda Allen with OAI.
Hi, Amanda. This is Glow.
Hi, Glow.
We're just getting started here, waiting for everybody else to get joined in. So it'll be
okay.
A few minutes.
We're through these sessions. We're going to discuss a whole list of topics. This week, Lynn and George are going to be talking about green jobs. So we will give just a couple minutes, and then we'll let them get started in talking about the green jobs and how they relate to brownfields communities. And then towards the end, we'll decide what people may want to talk about in our next session. We already had a vote for certifications, the types of certifications that people would want. Generally, the protocol we're using when we hear a beep, GLOW welcomes them in, but then we just keep on going. So we try not to repeat, because one of the things we're trying to do is limit these calls to a half hour so that it doesn't take a large chunk of everyone's day. And we haven't started yet, but there'll be a point at which we'll probably be sending out materials and doing some things over the Internet and sending materials if people are interested in them. We still haven't heard any word on the stimulus, but that will be coming in the next 2 weeks of funding. Last week we talked about stimulus and brownfield funding. Unfortunately, I didn't do a very good job in recording. Who just joined? Did someone just join? Oh, I guess not.
Hello?
Yes. Did someone just join?
Yes, Kimberly Patrick from the Career and Technology Center.
Great.
Kimberly, how are you? How about yourself, Bo?
I'm good.
Someone else
just joined?
Hello?
Yes, who just joined?
Tim.
Tim, okay. And someone else joined also? I thought I heard two beeps.
I think Tim was the second beep, Mike.
Okay. Well, should we get started? And let me just read the people I have in case someone's name is mentioned. Amanda, Angus, Kimberly, Paula, Lynn, George, Tim, and Guy.
Richard Mabian, Gan City.
Hey, Richard, this is Glow. How are you?
Hello, Glow.
You forgot my name, Margaret.
Is Margaret in there, too?
Margaret. Okay, Margaret. That's right. Thanks, Margaret. And after this, we'll send you a session notes, and that's why I asked for your email before, and we'll include everyone's email. Normally what we do is after the session, we'll send a session notes, just a brief session.
Tanya Bobrin, St. Nick's, MPC.
Hi, Tanya. Glad you could join us today.
Hi, I'm happy to be on the call.
Good.
Okay, why don't we get started? I'm going to turn this over to Lynn and George. They're going to talk about green jobs, knowing that we might get some more bings, and whenever a bing occurs, GLOW will welcome, and then we'll just keep on going from wherever we left off. Let me give a brief introduction. Lynn and George have been doing this for a while, and they do a great job. I would say their program, in my opinion, is one of the best there is in the brownfield job redevelopment program. They've worked with federal funding. They've worked without federal funding. Got a great program. And I'm just going to turn it over to you two and go for it.
Great. Thanks, Mike. That's really nice. Those great things.
Yeah.
Hello. This is Rosalyn Howard from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hi, Rosalyn. Glad you could join us. This is GLOW.
Hello. How are you?
Just fine. We're just getting started. Lynn and George, New Jersey Youth Corps, are just getting started talking about energy and green jobs.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. Just going to give you just a little brief history of how we got to the point where we are now with green jobs. And it really all grew out of and is part of the Brownfields job training piece that we started back in 98 when we were funded through EPA. As I said at the end of last week's conversation, one of the things we did on the innovative technologies piece, which we had to incorporate, into our training was to add phytoremediation in.
Mm-hmm.
And that became a real interesting piece for us because we started working really with kind of a whole different green, if you will, than we're doing now. But one of the things that happens, especially in urbanized areas, once the brownfields are remediated, the land was selling fairly quickly,
right.
And new construction was going up, whether it was office buildings, complexes, housing complexes. And there was a piece called Ecological and Environmental Restoration that became part of the training after the remediation piece. So a lot of our young people, and again, we only work with those kids who dropped out of high school without a high school diploma.
Mm-hmm.
And we work to get them that diploma before they finish. For a lot of them, they were really interested in training related to the environmental restoration piece. And
mm-hmm.
that became a training piece for us that we worked out with one of our local universities, Rutgers University, and developed a curriculum that would take young people into some in-depth training in tree care industry, in landscaping, in really restoring those brownfields that had been remediated.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of an interesting sidetrack that grew out of brownfields. So now what we had were two pieces of what we're calling our E-Core, our environmental slash energy core.
Let me jump in just for a minute. Mike and Glow, like most of our audience, you're always looking for more money to develop new programs, training programs, or whatever it might be. And Lynn and I realized early on with the brownfields about the ecological restoration and the need for our people to have knowledge within another part of the green industry, that of arboriculture. So we started looking around for some money for that. And we found through the U.S. Department of Agriculture a grant to develop an urban and community forestry academy. And we wrote that grant, I think, in 2002 or 3. And we received money for that. And we were able to develop really the only core urban and community forestry academy in the U.S. that was approved by the Department of Agriculture. So that really became much a part of our brownfields job training, so much so that the 45-hour forestry training is incorporated right into our brownfields training, and it fit in nicely with the phytoremediation, which we still feel is a very innovative field, and, of course, the ecological restoration. So that's how that happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing that we had happening in our local youth corps sites, and we have 12 sites throughout the state, is that half of the time our young people spend with us is spent in community service projects, small crew-based projects of maybe 6 or 8 young people under the direction of a crew supervisor. They work on projects in the community that wouldn't otherwise get done due to lack of resources. Whether it's human resources or funding. One of our cores in particular, and more than one now, does a lot of housing rehabilitation. And what they started doing probably maybe 4 or 5 years ago was to work with local contractors when they're doing the housing rehab to rehab the house to become a green home. So we had young people learning to install bamboo floors, for example, as a renewable resource, looking at different energy-efficient appliances, all kinds of things when they were doing the rehab work. And then through the Green Industry Academy training, the Urban and Community Forestry training, when they were finished with the house, they could landscape the property as well. So now we had our environmental technician training, our 40-hour HAZWOPR through brownfields. We had some phytoremediation. We had the Academy for Urban and Community Forestry. And really what we were missing was the energy core of today, which focuses on energy audits and weatherization and the conservation piece of energy as well. And that's the fourth component, and that's where we are right now with our energy core and jobs, green jobs, for our youth core. Anybody have any questions so far?
No.
I have a, this is Angus, I have a question.
Yep.
Has anyone been or researched and looked into the upcoming RRNP requirements for target housing and you know, things like that, including that into the training that you give people starting next year?
No, we haven't.
I think what we need to do is now focus on these energy positions. It's incredible that you not only now you've got four key components in your energy environmental system, and that's fantastic that you could get the synergisms of cross-training between these. So, Lynn, could you tell us about the energy courses now that you're developing?
Yeah, we have two pieces to that. One, we're calling our energy ambassadors, and young people from all of our youth corps sites are going to be trained in energy conservation on a very practical level. And they will then be able to go out into the community to, let's say, senior centers, to after-school programs, and teach other young people and folks in their own home how to conserve energy and ways that they can do that on a very basic level.
Right. And we have, with our E-Core or Energy Core, the first part of it, as Lynn said, is the Energy Ambassadors. And that's really something for each one of our core members. Every one of us, including us, we need to have a better knowledge of the green economy and the green industry and what's out there. It's very easy to talk about the green industry or the green economy or greening, but to know the many of the ins and outs, people just don't know that. So that energy ambassador training will go out to all of our core members just to bring them up to speed with what's going on in the U.S., around the world, and then what they can do back at their own home. And when we talk to our young people about careers in this, whether it's brownfields or forestry or the energy core, some of them will have a real interest for it, and others will not. Not every one of our kids goes into something green. But every one of our young people should know more about greening than they do.
So, George, this is an awareness. This is an awareness
yeah.
course.
Right.
How many hours is it?
That's about 20 hours.
Yes.
And we're going to be working over the course of a year with about 1,000 to 1,200 young people.
Thousand.
Yes.
That's going to also bring together a group who are going to, it's going to spark an interest for those who want to go into the job training piece, which is the next step, which is the Energy Action Corps. And in that piece, they're trained as energy auditors, and they're also trained in weatherization. And we've just made a connection with a brand new union in New Jersey, a weatherization union, which is a laborers union.
The Local 55.
Which we're working with to coordinate our curricula so that we both can complement each other, and we're going to be a feeder into their training program. And then if they successfully complete, they'll be invited to join the union and hopefully get union jobs.
What's the age of the youth you're involved with?
16 to 25, but the higher level training will be 18 to 25.
On that community service project that you were working on, was any pay involved with that, or was that something like the community services they do when they've been in trouble?
It's not mandated service, like a court-mandated service. We're an all-voluntary corps, but we do give them a stipend, a needs-based stipend, while they're with us in the program to cover the cost of their transportation to get in and meals.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So where do you get those funds from?
Mm-hmm. We have a okay, a real combination of funding. We have a lot of pots of funding now. We have a state appropriation. We're a line item in the governor's budget. And we've been there for 25 years. As dangerous as that can be, we're one line that can be redlined out. But we're still in the governor's budget. We get some TANF funds. We got written into the state plan with human services, because a lot of the young people we have are either on TANF, TANF eligible, so we get a chunk of funds from them. We get a chunk of WIA discretionary money. We get adult literacy funds, leadership funds. So we have all of these different pots of money, most of which we look for that do not have the income eligibility requirements that comes with some funds that really eliminates people. We feel that if you're without a high school diploma, you have a barrier. I don't care, you know, how much money your parents make. You are undereducated and underemployed. So we combine all these different pieces of funding to match the program that we want to run, as opposed to, you know, trying to fit the round peg into the square hole. This is the first time in the history of our Corps for 25 years that we have made a positive connection with a union in the state, other than a few kids who've ended up in a carpentry union or something like that. So this is a pretty big deal for us. And we want to talk a little bit about green jobs, because George and I have had this conversation with people many times. One of the problems we're finding is right now the green jobs are not here yet, which is why we're doing so much cross-training and giving our young people options, trying to develop skills that are transferable to other career paths in case the jobs don't happen. Now, the last piece we just talked about, our biggest Energy Action Corps piece, we have requested stimulus funding, ARRA funding, for a year to kick that off, train all of our staff, get young people working, connect it with the union, and then it'll be sustainable in our program through our regular youth corps staff post-ARRA. But let's talk a little bit about green jobs and who has them and where are they.
We got hooked up with the energy bill, I guess about 2 years ago. We got in on that early on. We worked with Van Jones. Matter of fact, he references New Jersey Youth Corps in his books. Like all of you, we're waiting for the jobs to arrive. A couple ways to look at these energy jobs. Some people look at them as environmental justice jobs. Others look at them as the right thing to do. But yet, I work with a lot of employers every day throughout the state. I can get a kid in a job in Brownfield any day of the week, or forestry. But we do not have anyone clamoring to our door, for these green jobs.
What's the reaction up there?
This is Paula. I have both a reaction and a question. My reaction is that some of what we're calling green jobs are actually existing jobs with existing contractors in the trades.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Paul. I mean, a brownfields job is a green job. A forestry job is a green
job.
Right.
But there are also jobs that contractors who do remodeling, who electricians, construction workers, HVAC people. These are, some of these are trades that are branching out, because you need a certain, part of the training involves some construction skills, some HVAC skills, if we're talking about solar panels or plumbers or solar hot water. I mean, that's kind of what we've been finding. And so that they seem to be sort of dispersed among a host of contractors. I don't know who your employers are, but it seems more of a disaggregated than Brownfield's work. For one, and two, I'm wondering, like it's Joe Johnson and Sons, construction or our home rebuilders, and So accessing them, you know, is really a more, it's a more, at the more micro level. So I don't know if you've had any success developing those.
Access for those jobs. Yeah, so we're looking at, well, we're about to start training, you know, the energy audits, the weatherization, and those jobs have not appeared on the scene yet.
Okay, I got a question about about that as well. Because I think some folks are waiting for stimulus funds to do the weatherization, like the HUD funds for the for public housing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
When they get that, then it'll, you know, then there'll be the call for the work.
Mm-hmm.
My question has nothing to do with whether or not you have come up against the quarry issue for energy auditors, because these are people who will be going into people's homes.
We haven't had to tackle that yet.
Okay.
We're hoping that some of the work is going to be done via sort of a host agency, like a neighborhood preservation, because when the funds go out from the Department of Community Affairs here, they'll go out to the community action program.
Right. Okay.
Right. And mm-hmm. we're hoping that that access will go that way. But there
okay.
may be issues surrounded that. You're absolutely right.
We've encountered that. I mean, I think the good news is that when the CAP agency, since the work is supposed to explode through this low-income
mm-hmm.
Fuel assistance network. So, but everybody's waiting for it.
What's happening in North Carolina, in fact, it just happened, is they're starting programs that anyone, low-income families, will get energy audits and weatherization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is who's going to do the energy audits and the weatherization,
mm-hmm.
and there is a likelihood it's going to go to a small number of firms that are going
mm-hmm.
to bid for the work. And we're just upon this right now. It's just starting, and the fear is it'll come over like a tidal wave where there'll be a few consulting firms that'll pop up and be providing energy audits and weatherization.
And that's one of the – go ahead, George.
No, that's true. That's why we're very glad we're on the ground floor with this Local 55.
Congratulations, by the way. That's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Thank
very
you.
Exciting.
Yeah.
I was on another call. I think that they were on the – they presented at the Green for All, the last Green for All call. So
sure.
mm-hmm. get
yeah.
to hear a lot about that program. That sounds – that's terrific. Congratulations.
Yes, we're excited.
You know what I'd like to do, and we're going to continue for a few more minutes, but since this is going to be shut off, we're going to limit to around 30 minutes. I think we need to continue the conversation both on the green jobs and the weatherization and focus in on this. And
mm-hmm.
I think it would be really neat between now and the next session to everyone go back and start searching out what are their communities doing in terms of the weatherization jobs and the energy audit jobs, who's getting them, where they're going. And when we have our next meeting, we could have everyone report back on what they found in terms of what's happening in their locality in terms of these two jobs that seem to be popping right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very quickly, in Baltimore City, we are moving forward with that. We just put out the bid for our weatherization, and I'm with the Workforce Investment Area in Baltimore City, the Mayor's Office of Employment Development, and we're taking the lead on assisting contractors who are selected for that bid to do their recruitment and to get them workers. Unfortunately, actually throughout the state of Maryland, we don't anticipate a very large number of people being hired specifically to do the weatherization work. We anticipate that the contractors, and there should be a number of them because we're getting six times the funding that we usually do receive, we anticipate that those businesses will use some of their seasoned workers for the weatherization work, people who don't have criminal backgrounds because they are going into homes.
Sure.
But these same contractors may need people to backfill for their other jobs, and that's where
mm-hmm.
the recruitment would come in, and our assistance would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
This is Diane. I have a question. I didn't get an answer to my first question about the RR&D regulations, whether anyone has researched that, and are they planning to include that into their curriculum, or and are they going to add that before those rules go into effect in April of next year or whenever it is?
Why don't we find out? Why don't we do some research during this next week? And it sounds like nobody's got an answer right now, but what we can do, and the beauty of this, we can go back and find out about it.
This is Paula. I don't understand the question. Could you explain what it is you're referring to and what those?
EPA has promulgated new regulations called RR&P, Renovation, Remodeling, and Painting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
CFR 745.
All right,
and would
seem
to me that our people that you're training, if they are certified in this when it goes into effect, they would have a greater chance of getting jobs if they are the quote certified renovator on staff at a company.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in here real quick. My Niagara County Community College guy Zazak. We did a weatherization class. We spent a whole day actually covering what that topic was in terms of renovation for lead. And I was a energy auditor for the local utility for a 3-year period. So I will write a long email if I can get everyone's email address and bring somebody up to speed.
Of course. That doesn't really matter because you have to be an EPA certified training facility in order to teach that one-day class on RR&P.
In the state of Maryland, you do. And the community colleges have pulled together a consortium of trainers who have been trained at the facility in Pennsylvania. They are bringing that training back to
the
locations.
There are no certified training facilities yet. They have just opened for registration on this area.
Right, I understand that. I understand what I'm saying is that
to go. We need to become certified training facilities. Many of our schools actually got the lead certification ability, the asbestos certification by their states, the lead certification by their states. Some that didn't have state approval got the federal one, the HAZWOPR. One of the sessions we're going to be talking about will be certifications. In fact, we've had quite a bit of interest in this whole issue of certification. So I think we need to all do some homework in terms of the EPA regs and how we might incorporate it into our training programs and what we need to do to get certified programs going. Because the guy's got a good point here. To the extent that anytime we could certify our people, we're pushing them towards job openings that other people can't take.
That's right.
That's where we want to go, really.
This is just a one-day training.
What I'd like to do, and Lynn and George are doing a great job, I'd like to continue this discussion in our next session.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've brought up some points, but we're just partially way through this whole energy and energy audits and weatherization issue, and I think we've got some good questions that we need to go back and find out what's happening in the localities versus weatherization energy audits and what kind of certifications are going to be required and how we might incorporate those in our programs. I guess I have a question of the group. Next Wednesday would be the July 1st, and then there's the 8th. Do you all want to convene on the 1st, or do we want to skip a week and go to the 8th because of the holiday? What's everyone's feeling? Does anyone have any problem with the 1st?
No.
No, the 1st is good. The 8th is not.
Correct. Me too.
George and Lynn, since this
the
is your
is
show.
Fine for us. Yes.
Yeah.
George and Lynn, is it okay if you continue this topic next week?
Sure.
Sure, of course. Be glad to.
I think we're hit on an important area here that's going to be integral to all of our programs, and anyone who has some thoughts on this, I'll send out everyone's email, and you can just take that email list, and if you've got anything between now and next Wednesday to share with the group, just copy it to everyone. And,
okay.
Someone's going to start something on that RRP. Is he going to do that? Because I'm totally out of it about that.
Okay, I got some... I got a few documents I can email to Flo, and she can send them out to everybody.
We'll make sure
that works.
What Mike and I will do, Mike will start an email, and it will have a distribution list of everybody that's a member of the PLC here. If you just reply to all, it will go to all the members. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
That'll work.
Also, could you have a link to the curriculum that the Rutgers University had for the Youth Corps as far as the different trainings? I think there was a lot that was mentioned. I couldn't write it all down. So if we could have a link to the programs and the curriculum that you provided for the youth in New Jersey.
How about we send it to Glo and she can send it out, or we'll just reply to all and attach
sure.
it. Okay?
Okay? That would be great. Yep.
That's great. These are short, but we designed them to be short. We don't want to take up anyone's day. So while we're going to cut this off here, I think we've got some ideas going that we can continue on. So let's do our next session next Wednesday, and come on in early. So at two o'clock, 1 Central Time, everyone's on the conversation so we can get started right away.
Good.
Sound good?
Thank you. Good.
Sounds great. Thank you.
And meanwhile, you could replay this. If I don't mess up, hopefully replay this during the week.
Good.
Thanks, Mike.
Until next week.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.